Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right, guys. So as you guys know, I love Starbucks. And you know, my addiction has not gone away. I was there today. Anyways, Starbucks is leaving Russia for good, following other companies like McDonald's who have done the same. But one thing that I have to give Starbucks props for is that they're about to pay those 2,000 employees or so that they have for 6 months. So they're not just going to be like, hey, we're pulling out and not paying you guys. And they're actually helping them look for jobs outside of their company. So I thought it was cool. It's like they're not just leaving them high and dry.
That is good, I guess. I mean, not ideal anyway.
I don't know.
Go ahead. What do you got, Cappy?
Well, here's the thing. I understand where you're coming from, Laura, and I haven't really thought too much about this until you put it the way you did. Because all I heard was is that Starbucks is leaving Russia just the same way McDonald's has left Russia. And I thought to myself, well, that's good. You know, an American-based company should get out of there in so long as Russia is behaving the way they are and what they've done to the world. And the reason that American companies are leaving is because there's pressure. Like, hey, you know, you're helping support that economy over there and you're helping these people work. And really, I think ultimately what we want or what the world needs is for the Russian people themselves to stand up to this dictator, to this bully, and say, we can't have you in office anymore because we're all struggling. We don't have jobs. We don't have money. So the pressure has to be on the people to take back their country. And while it's a very generous and humane thing that Starbucks is doing, as you've reported it, I really wonder if it's the right thing to do. I feel
it is the right thing to do. Okay, I don't want to get too deep into this because we don't need to get into, you know geopolitics here. But applying pressure in that scenario financially to the country, and taking things away from them and their citizenry in that particular case is a way to apply pressure in a financial way that allows those people who are franchisees in Russia for Starbucks to then go up the ladder to the government and tell them, hey, we're the ones that are supporting the economy of the country by having these businesses, and all our businesses are being tapped because of this war in Ukraine. That's how things get settled more quickly than the random citizens going and trying, hitting the streets, because that just leads to more bloodshed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just, again, it was the first time I've heard it reported that way. I mean, all I'd heard was Starbucks is leaving, and I thought, right on, they should leave. Taking care of the people, I don't know, it's a generous thing to do. Is it the right thing to do? I don't know, it's not the decision I have to make, thankfully. But,
Like, for example, if, you know, in Russia, there are people, oligarchs or whoever, that own these Starbucks and these McDonald's and whatever. And with the big corporation saying, no, we're pulling out, those people who have the money in Russia are being affected. Those are the people that have more ability to sway the government than the people who are the citizens of the country.
Yeah, perhaps that maybe, I don't listen. You said let's not have a discussion about geopolitics. I don't even know what the geo in front of the politics means necessarily. But here's what I can say. I'm proud of American companies that have decided to stop doing business there. And I feel like I can leave it right there. I just am proud of American companies that because their bottom line, if you're Starbucks, if you're McDonald's, your stock price is likely going to be impacted because all of a sudden you got so much less business because you shut down in Russia. So I'm proud of these American companies. Way to go, guys and girls.
All right, that is what you need to know. Also, one more thing on what you need to know. Christopher mentioned this at the top of the show. Congratulations to Laura for graduating this weekend. How was that?
It was an ish show, but yes, thank you.
Why
was it an ish show? I don't even understand. Why? What happened?
Well, I was sick. There's that, right? So I was kind of like legit drugged at my graduation. Yeah. But,
whatever.
You know, it would have been cool, but, like, shout out to Cal Poly for doing everything really wrong, having, like, 4 graduations in one day, and it was a mess, and, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot going on, and they, you know, so, but you know what? We did it.
Hey, listen, who cares about the actual graduation itself? What matters is that it's taken you a long time and a lot of perseverance to actually get that thing done. So you know what? Screw Cal Poly. Forget about the graduation ceremonies and all this other nonsense. You, girlfriend, you got it done. You got that diploma. Put it on your wall. Display it proudly.
Thank you so much. But yes, we are done. I told my parents, you get one. Even if I go for a master's or anything else, you get one graduation. You were there. It's a wrap.
Nice.
Right. Good for you, Laura. Congratulations.
College graduation, George?
No.
Me neither.
I didn't want to, but, you know, the parents wanted it, so.
I know, and after the fact, my mother was like, you couldn't even go to the graduation. Your father and I couldn't come up and watch our son graduate college, the first Kaplan to go to college. You couldn't walk. I'm like, yeah, Ma, it never really occurred to me. Like, it just didn't interest me. Like, high school was one thing. College graduation, did I need to walk, really? I don't know. It just seemed like a thing I had to do.
That is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Speaking of your college, Pitt, Aaron Donald went to Pitt. It's his birthday. He also didn't attend OTAs because he wants a new contract. I don't think by any means, okay, that he is not going to receive the riches he deserves. So I don't know if this story has really got any real traction to it, because I certainly don't believe they're going to let him walk. Because of a contract dispute, do you?
I don't think so. I mean, I was talking about this a little bit last week while you were off the air, but when you know the highest paid defensive player in the NFL is the brother, the younger brother Watt in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
TJ Watt.
Yes.
And he's making a lot more money than Aaron Donald.
Okay.
And if I'm Aaron Donald, all I care about is, hey, look, guys, I'm 30 years old today.
Make me the highest paid guy.
Right. That's it. Just make me the highest paid guy. Let me put it this way. If I'm Aaron Donald, I walk in and I sit down with Stan Kroenke. I'm bypassing everybody. I'm going directly to the owner. Mr. Kroenke, do you think I'm the best defensive player in the NFL? Why, yes I do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you think as the best player and the guy who just delivered the Super Bowl and made the most incredible play to wrap the Super Bowl, don't you think I'm worthy of that?
Yes.
Oh, then let's do a deal.
Okay, we'll get it done.
See, this is why I come right to the boss. This is why I come right to Mr. Kroenke. You got to go to the boss. Can't talk to middlemen.
Yeah, let's get it done. I don't think – now, I am curious to see, because the NFC West, Kyler Murray, that I don't know if it's going to get done. Deebo Samuel, I have less of an inclination to believe that's going to get done in a timely fashion. The NFC West is interesting with those three guys right now. Less so with Aaron Donald, because I don't actually believe that's going to happen.
Well, what you're talking about now is a situation in San Francisco, a team that you look at as a real competitor, a quarterback in Arizona who's a young up-and-coming star,
yeah.
And we're not even really talking about Seattle. This all
Well, because they're not good.
Right, yeah. This is my point. All this drama in the NFC West, quarterback in Arizona, disruptive player, wide receiver, running back in San Francisco, this all bodes well for the future of the Rams, because everybody else has something going on. Seattle doesn't have a quarterback. Arizona may not have a quarterback. And San Francisco has a guy that's so disgruntled that it could turn into a giant locker room disaster. So all these other teams, which are competitors, right now, the Rams have everything kind of locked in, other than this Aaron Donald situation, which I believe will get handled very easily. And everybody else has major drama to deal with.
Yeah, and I think it'll get sorted out. I do think it'll get sorted out. Speaking of drama, how do we feel about Max Muncy right now? Because Max Muncy has been a fantastic player for the Dodgers over the last several years. But he's been really bad this year, okay? And he had a ridiculously costly error for them on Sunday. And look, he's not Cody Bellinger, who when he isn't hitting, he can make up for it in the outfield, because Bellinger's still an incredible defensive player. That's not Max Muncy. Max Muncy's value is that he was a great hitter. Now, he's still walking at a really good rate. And in baseball, getting, as we've learned over the last 20 years, walk is an inherent skill that will keep you on rosters. But I still, at the end of the day, look at his hitting numbers. And I don't know. I think we're getting to a tipping point where I don't know if that's enough just getting on base via walk at this point.
So what's your suggestion?
I don't know. I think you have to, at the very least, drop him in the order.
Yeah. I mean, look, Max Muncy is a heart and soul player. Max Muncy has been part of what the Dodgers have built in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Max Muncy's a guy that they got, I mean, for like no money at all.
Nothing. Rule 5 guy. So you can't even send him down to the minors.
Right. So Max Muncy has delivered. He is, if he were a stock, he'd be very, very profitable. You'd look at him and you go,
over the long term, yes.
Yeah, I bought a penny stock, and over the course of the last 5, 6 years, it went from 5 cents to $500. Now, all of a sudden, that $500 stock has all of a sudden dropped back down to $350. Do I take my profit and get on with it, or do I give it a chance to get back up to $500? I know I've made a ridiculous sort of stock market analogy here, but here's my point. I'm not giving up on Max Muncy yet. It's early in the season. We're 42-ish, 43, 44 games in, and the Dodgers are in first place. So they've been able to win despite the fact that one of their better players has not performed up to his normal year. I might give him a couple days off. I might sit him down and say, dude, relax. Relax. Just take it easy. Take a few days off. Get your head straight. But I'm not giving up on Max Muncy yet.
Okay, I'm not giving up on him either, but I think they have to figure it out. Either give him some days off, either sit him down or bring him down in the lineup. Like, there's got to be something because it's just not been good. And I will say this, much like I felt this way last year with Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell, strikeout rate is really low compared to previous seasons. He is, like, on the brink of disaster, it feels like, almost every time he's out there. I know people who may not be watching closely will sit there and say, oh, he's perfect save, you know, in his save opportunities, 9 for 9 or whatever. But man, if you watch the games, it is a roller coaster ride with him in a way where that wasn't the case with him previously. And I felt that way about Kenley last year. Now it worked out, but I don't think you can do that dance with the devil that often with your closer and it continue to work out.
You know, George, as we're having this conversation, I'm watching the Dodgers right now. They've got a 5-0 lead over Washington in the bottom of the fourth inning. And I just noticed that Muncy had made a catch in foul territory. And if I didn't know any better, and again, I'm seeing it out of the corner of my eye. Is he playing third base today? I got to go look this up because, again, like I said, I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, I think Muncy is playing over at third. So if that's the case, and again, let me have a second here to look it all up. But if that's the case, that's a good move. Like, give him a chance to play a different position where maybe he feels a little more comfortable. Second base, I know he's been there, but he was a first baseman all year last year, and he's been the first baseman, but they got Freddie Freeman, so they got a better first baseman. Just find a way to make him feel comfortable is my point.
What do you think happens? What's more likely to happen? Max Muncy bounces back. Aaron Donald resigns with a huge contract. Or Doc Rivers is the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers and not the three candidates that have been reported. Rank those three in order of most likely.
In order of most likely. Aaron Donald gets a new contract.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Max Muncy makes a comeback.
Yeah.
And Doc Rivers becomes the coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, because that one, there's too many variables with that one.
Yeah. That one is way, way out of control.
Well, Kevin Garnett, who played for Doc Rivers, said, what was it that he said, Lindsay, about the Lakers coaching candidates?
He said that with the list of the three candidates that you guys have been talking about, and then also with Doc Rivers, he said that the Lakers aren't serious about their future if that's the guys that they're going for.
Where'd he come from? Where'd Kevin Garnett show up to have a comment about the Lakers coaching search?
I think he has a podcast or something. But
yeah, and by the way, I also think he loves Doc Rivers. And I think that he putting that out in the, you know, in the atmosphere, I think also puts in his mind and in their mind, maybe puts pressure on the Lakers to be like, all right, just get the Doc thing done. Because Doc, if I had to guess, and again, I don't know, this is me recklessly speculating. I'm not reporting. I haven't talked to Doc. I just think that Doc and James, they're not feeling it. Neither are feeling each other. Daryl knows that. Morey loves Harden. Doc would probably love to be back in LA. And I think that everyone is doing this weird dance right now with Doc. And I think that a guy like Kevin Garnett is just trying to kind of nudge things in a certain direction, if I had to guess.
I love everybody in our community telling us, though, that Doc Rivers is like one of the all-time great underachievers in the history of basketball coaches, because every stop along the way, he's had so much talent and he hasn't created the championships that people expected. Perhaps you're right. Maybe he is a great underachiever. Maybe that's true. But I'm asking everybody this question. For this roster, for these guys, Doc Rivers or the other three names that you've heard, one's a former head coach that no one's ever heard of before, one's an assistant coach that hasn't had a chance to become an NBA head coach, and the other's just an assistant coach too. They're unknown commodities.
Kenny Atkinson was a head coach in Brooklyn before KD and those guys got there.
Point is this. He's not an impressive name.
All right. We got Radio Tinder coming up next. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, guys, so earlier today, I don't know if you saw this, but Cappy, your BFF, dropped a little bit of news. Canelo Alvarez announced that he's going to bypass an immediate rematch with the WBA light heavyweight champion Dimitri Bivol to face his arch rival Triple G in September. So Canelo said, yes, he said after his loss to Bivol that he wanted the rematch, but he's instead decided to go ahead with what I guess was a contractual obligation that he already had to fight Triple G. Canelo and Triple G, if you remember, they fought to a split draw in a title fight back in 27, but Canelo won the rematch by majority decision back in 2018. Do you guys want to see Canelo fight Triple G more than you want to see a rematch with Bivol? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I mean, you could make the case he didn't beat Triple G in one of the previous fights. I guess you could, I mean, all right, fine. I'll swipe right. I'd still like to see him beat Bivol. I don't think he could beat Bivol. I think that that's like a real I think that's part of the reasoning behind this. And I think that it's a much tougher task for him than an older Triple G. So I think it's just the easier route.
Yeah, because so if he loses to Bivol again, then like the Triple then G,
then the Triple G fight has less luster to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll swipe right only because it's a smart business move, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe right also. I would much rather see Canelo fight this guy he just lost to, Bivol, because I'd like to see what kind of strategy moves he makes to say, look, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's longer, but I'm the better fighter. And that's, by the way, if he is, I'm not sure that he is. But I'd like to see what he does the second time. Fighting Triple G is not necessarily exciting to me anymore.
So and you're actually swiping left, is what you're saying.
Am I? Okay, fine. Yeah. So I'll swipe left. Bottom line is this. Triple G's 40. Triple G's 40 years old. So the longer this thing goes, if and when they ever get back together, people are going to look at Canelo and they're going to go, oh, big deal. He beat up, you know, 40-something-year-old Triple G. I think he's got to hurry up and get this fight done. And I suspect when he does take care of Triple G, then he goes after Bivol again. Be my guess. But the money is there. So if you're a business guy, you go make the money. And believe me, that's what Canelo is.
All right, what's next, Linz?
All right, so the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey is reviving its circus, and they've unveiled a plan to bring back a modernized greatest show on Earth. But this one will be without its iconic elephants and other animals. Instead, its producers are scouring the world for people with rare talents and skills who can captivate today's audiences. The new circus is going to hit the road for a U.S. tour in September of 2023. They said that the show's new goal is to celebrate amazing talent from around the world, displaying incredible feats that push the limits of human potential and create jaw-dropping moments. Do you guys think that this new Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, without animals, is going to be a hit? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left and say no, not going to be a hit. Don't think it will be. Because I can go to, like, the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum and go, wow, I don't even know if I believe that or not, but they're putting this out here, and it's interesting to me. I mean, listen, I could read the Guinness Book of World Records and find out the guy who has, like, the 25-inch fingernails or the guy that's got the longest nipple hair in the world. That is a true record in Guinness Book. True record. So I don't know if I need to go see a circus for a freak show. Now, if you told me there were people that were doing crazy, crazy things that I've never seen before in my life, maybe, but I don't think so. So I'm swiping left.
I'm going to swipe right only because, I mean, people go see Cirque du Soleil all the time. You know what I mean? Like, and they have animals.
Cirque du Soleil, though, like, recently, like, went bankrupt. And, like, they're going through, like, a revival or trying to revive the company now because somebody else bought them. They went through, like, bankruptcy because people just stopped going to it. They're like, well, see, once you've seen it once, you've seen them all. So that's why I think that this is, like, a different... If they're taking a similar approach to Cirque du Soleil, like, I feel like, you know, like, maybe there isn't a whole lot new
right,
about
but
that.
But I think that Ringling Brothers still has, because of the how long it's been around, I think there's an allure to it still, right? And I think that it will have a run of success initially. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, withstand the test of time, but I think their initial tour could have some success to it.
You're saying because of the name Ringling Brothers and because of the brand, yeah.
Right, yeah.
What's that lady's name, like, during halftimes of basketball games? She does those, like...
The Red Panda.
Red Panda.
Yeah, like, now, if you showed me, like, if you had 10 Red Pandas, you know, people who do outrageous stuff like the Red Panda, now you might get me.
She's great. She's the best.
Yeah.
I would pay to see her for sure.
What's
all
next?
Right. So since we haven't done Big Deal or No Deal in a week, I'm going to do a Big Deal or No Deal for you guys. Okay. So for the third time in the season's NBA playoffs, the Dallas Mavericks have been fined for the same offense, violating league rules regarding team bench decorum. The fines have doubled from $25,000 to $50,000, and now the latest infraction is a $100,000 fine. The league released a statement that said, quote, on multiple occasions, several players and a member of the coaching staff stood for an extended period in the Mavericks team bench area, stood away from the team bench, and were on or encroaching upon the playing court during the game. So is this whole situation here a big deal or no deal? Starting with you, Sedano, because I feel like you know what's up.
I mean, it is a big deal in this regard. The players standing up makes it tough for the players on the court to be able to function, especially when you're trying to shoot corner threes. If a guy's foot is out a little too far and you trip up, you can get guys hurt there is my bigger issue. I know the fans are the ones complaining because they can't see. And I get the league's position on that, but it's kind of the deal. Like, you know, they're going to stand up a lot. You know, it's not going to – now, should they stand up the whole game? I don't know. I just feel like if you're a fan and you bought those seats, like, you're kind of running the risk that they're going to stand a lot, you know, off the bench. But my understanding is that a prominent person, like, I don't know if the story's out there, so I don't want to say something that I'm out of pocket.
Come on, say it.
But no.
Come on.
I'm not you. I'm not, because I have real ramifications.
Say it.
No. So I've heard that, like, a very prominent Warriors fan, I'll just leave it at that, was the person who was taking pictures of the Dallas Mavericks bench, kind of crossing the line, per se, quote unquote, in this scenario, and then presented it to the league.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Who was it? What prominent?
I'm not going to tell you, you jerky.
Why? It sounds interesting. I listen, before you said that, I was like, this is kind of a non-story to me. I'm swiping left. I'm saying no deal. I don't think it's any big deal.
Look, I'm not going to tell you.
If you pay big money to sit that close to the floor, part of the beauty of sitting that close to the floor is you're kind of in the mix. You know, well, guess what? You're sitting right behind the bench. These guys are all tall. They stand up.
Well, I'll tell you this.
You can't see.
I saw a lady yesterday trying to get Steph to take a picture with her. She was sitting right there near the scorer's table. Mm-hmm. And Steph was like being very kind about it. He's like, no, I appreciate it, but you know, I can't do that. It's the middle of a game. You know, even if we're in a timeout. And then the same lady, her friend was like tapping Draymond on the back, and Draymond kind of like turned around, like, what is going on here? So people are crazy, man, like in general at these games. Like, rich people out of control, yo. That's what I'm going to say.
Wait, the other thing is, I saw that the referees had asked one of the assistant coaches, I think, to change his shirt before the game because he was wearing a white shirt.
Yes, and he should not have done – right, because Steph Curry threw the ball at him early in the game or in the previous game, thinking that he was one of the Warriors. Yes.
Yeah, and he's since, like, his proximity to the bench and everything, right. Like, that's –
No, but you should not be allowed to change your shirt. I don't care. That's not my problem.
Yeah, I mean, so I feel like that was kind of weird. Like, okay, you're an NBA player, guy wearing a long sleeves white shirt. He's clearly not your teammate. Like, move on. But I feel like that's all part of this whole story. And the
well,
whole
here's
thing
what
is
I'm going to tell you this right now. Next game, I'm not even watching the game. I'm going to be watching the bench area, and I'm going to be trying to figure out who behind the Mavericks bench is the prominent fan for Golden State that would have complained to the NBA. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, well, you can do that. All right, are we done here?
Mm-hmm.
Looks that way.
Laura, we got to go? All right, Cap, the Heat lead 2-1 against the Celtics. What's the motto going into game four?
The motto is bleep Boston.
Yeah.
But I got to say, if you ask me about this game, I think I would take Boston in this game.
Yeah, they're 7-point favorites, even with Marcus Smart not playing in today's game. So we'll see. Coverage of game four of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and Celtics is up next.